We seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our viewers all over the world to another edition of our program, Islamic Studies. This program is being broadcast to you by Sahar Universal Network from the Islamic Republic of Iran and from the holy city of Qum. And I'm your expert host, Ijaz Hussain. The program from the last session was about the topic of blasphemy, and there were a couple of points I'd like to review with our viewers about this. And what we said about blasphemy, of course, if you look it up in the dictionary, you'll find that it means to insult something holy or something to insult religion. But it has a deep-rooted basis in exclusivity, which means that it's I and the other. In other words, it's an idea, a concept based on hatred of the other. And the second point is, of course, that we are looking at the idea that this kind of blasphemy extends itself to the desecration of holy places and personalities, especially in the religion of Islam. And of course, in the school of Ahlul Bayt, you know, there is a point made in, according to religion, to visit these places. So some religious fanatics, unfortunately, in this part of the world, especially in the Middle East, see this as a kind of shirk, a kind of polytheism. They regard it as the visiting of these holy places as something to do with contravening the concept of Tawheed. So, or the unity principle of the worship of God alone. And of course, this is a misconstrued idea, but it comes out of this compound ignorance that my expert spoke about in the previous program. We are going to continue on this discussion, and we'll do that after a short break, so please stay with us. We'll be right back. Thanks. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. There will be some numbers subtitled on the screen as well as an email. Please use them if you feel you'd like to contribute towards the program. We'd love to hear from you. As I say, you're watching Islamic Studies, and I'm your host, Ijaz Hussain. And I'd like to welcome to the program Dr. Amini, Sheikh Amini from the Holy Seminaries of Qum. Thanks very much once again, sir, on this very important topic of blasphemy. Thanks very much.
Thank you too. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ahl bayti tayyibin at-tahirin. O Allah, send your best blessings upon the Holy Prophet of Islam and his Immaculate Ahlul Bayt. I offer my best greetings to you and to all dear viewers all around the world who are watching this program. And I had this honor to be at your service for talking about the subject matter of blasphemy, which is now is one of the most talked about subjects.
Definitely.
That are unfortunately occurring in countries in order to extend the main concept of the exclusivism and divide and rule and sectarianism, which is the main enemy and the main unfortunately negative point, which is going to distract the unity of Muslims, the unity of the human being, and this is the core and the axis of all badnesses, unfortunately.
Quite. Thank you for that. Now, Dr. Amini, we got to the point where we finished off our discussion. We couldn't actually finish it off in the last session, so I do thank you for coming to, you know, round off this very important debate. Because the point that we were making, and it's a very serious point, that unfortunately, some religious fanatics in the Middle East regard visiting cemeteries, visiting the shrines of holy companions of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him.
And even the Holy Prophet.
Even the Holy Prophet itself. Yes, absolutely. I thank you for that. And of course, you know, I'm kind of worried with this kind of discussion, because I don't know where this can lead to. Yes. I mean, would it lead to the one day, God forbid, that these such fanatics would even want to demolish the Kaaba if they thought that even that was some kind of...
We have in the history it has happened.
Yes, it has happened, absolutely. And this is why I was going to raise this point. But I'd like your reaction, your take on, you know, how bad is this trend in the Middle East, and what can be done to tackle it and to make people understand the proper concept, because we are talking about the fact that they're associating it with shirk. They say that this is a kind of polytheism, and it flies in the face of the concept of Tawheed. But of course, they are misconstruing the whole concept of Tawheed. The point. And I'd like you to clarify that from the Holy Scripture, as you know, the Holy Quran, as well as from our Hadith from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him.
The reason is very good. Having logic and intellectuality is very good.
That's true. Yes, you know, I appreciate that. Yes.
God has given us the faculty of thinking.
Thank you.
And many other faculties. And this is the dividing line between us and the animals. That we can think and the animals cannot. But of course, some of the animals can think as well. What we witness, unfortunately, nowadays is that this very important thing has been underestimated. Thinking.
That's right. That's right.
We think about what we are going to do. Okay. We have one very beautiful narration from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, our holy Imam, that Al-alamu bizamanihi la tahjum alayhi al-lawabis. If a person knows his surrender very good, no harm will come to him. Looking at this situation, in what situation we are living nowadays?
Sure.
In a situation that by itself, there are many political disorders in the world.
That's
economical
right.
disorders.
Yes.
So why the religious people must come to have and disdain and to act these profane actions and blasphemies?
Quite.
Do we think about it, what we are going to do? When we are going to dig out, for example, a holy place, even not only a holy place, even a person who is ordinary dead, okay, we don't have right to dig it out, for example, all religions, because it is a kind of, you know, anti-humanism, you know, a kind of, it is against humanity.
Yes.
Humanity, thinking, logic
against
says
decency.
when you have such an issue, you have to respect. We have to respect the ideas, respect the belief system
and value of the other.
When we are doing these things, it means that we don't think. Okay, if the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam has this think of and at this way of thinking, okay, it is one of the privileges for us. That Aql is one of the principles of jurisprudence and our thinking. Okay?
I'd like to raise just one point with you, Sheikh, that you know that's very important in this topic. And that is that unfortunately, as you say, the thinking, mantiq, logic are primary tools that we use in the school of Ahlul Bayt before we even open the holy book. Because there's a beautiful dua at the beginning of the Holy Quran from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, from the sixth holy Imam, that says that, Lord, don't make my recitation of the Quran some kind of babbling. Please make it something that educates me, enlightens my heart. And I'm thinking that there's some idiot in Florida who talks about burning the book each week. You know, this is the kind of extremism, this religious nutism that we are getting from all over the place. But as you quite rightly say, it's stemmed in ignorance, extremism, and sometimes a deliberate act just so that to provoke the other, to cause hatred amongst the other. Your take on that?
Yes. There is a famous saying that in a body which reason does not conquer and does not rule, the body will be in suffering.
Yes.
If you do nothing, when we see this kind of suicide that are occurring among the other people, ordinary people, you go and bomb yourself, and you kind
that's
of
right,
and you
see,
and you see, you think that by this kind you go immediately to the Paradise.
Yes.
From which logic does it going to follow? What is it about? Which religion allows this act that you go bomb in among the, for example, innocent people
in a bazaar
to kill them?
Yeah, that's right.
To
yes.
kill them,
women and that, children. Yeah.
So yes, not no Christian, no Jews, no atheists,
yes.
no animals can have these kind of acts. No, but we see unfortunately those people who do not think.
Yeah.
And
but it's deliberate, isn't
deliberate,
it? Because
yes.
they even try to put that into religious context, that even that thinking is against dogma, because this is what we're talking
yes.
about, because dogma is to do
yeah.
something according to whatever belief you have.
Dogmatic,
without
yeah.
logic, without thinking.
Logic, yes. Why I have raised this point here?
Please, yes.
Because, for example, there is one famous thing of, and this is the fatwa of one of the great ulama, and one of the founders, I can say, the Salafis or the fundamentalists and extremists.
Takfiris.
That yajibu hadm al-mashahid, it is obligatory to destruct and demolish the places which there is a grave on it and you build a tomb on it.
A tomb on it,
yes.
right.
وَلَا يَجُوزُ إِبْقَاهَا وَلَا يَجُوزُ إِبْقَاهَا بعد القدر على هدمها وابطالها يوما واحدا. And it is not permissible to leave one place and one grave remained safe, okay, and you had the possibility to demolish it.
Oh my goodness, this is very, very extreme.
This is the main fatwa and the main reason that the people
this comes out of Saudi Arabia, doesn't
yes,
it?
This is
out of the court.
Ibn Taymiyyah, one of the founders of has said to his student, "Yajib
so
al-Had."
This would mean that even the Holy Prophet's grave would be subject to this.
Exactly,
looting.
And they wanted to do,
right.
but they have been stopped even by the Saudi themselves. No, they wanted. They say, if you go to visit the Holy Shrine of the Holy Prophet of Islam, it is because it is a kind of shirk. You are worshipping it. But I have a question, for example.
Please,
I have
yes,
a question
yes.
from this bill. For example, if you go, for example, you kiss your children, for example.
Sure.
Okay, you respect your children. If you go to visit your, for example, neighbor, to visit one of the respectful professors, okay, is it a kind of shirk, is it a kind of polytheism? You want to worship him? For sure, if you enter into the mosque, you worship the mosque, or you find it a place for
a place
worship,
where you can do your worship.
So you have to demolish all the mosque as well. This is the
That's
thing
right.
that
I mean. This is quite.
So this is the logic that I'm talking about.
Goodness.
Okay, this is the.
This is very dangerous.
And very dangerous. So okay, but if you say that we are referring to the sayings and the verses of Quran, okay.
Please.
We have this verse.
Please.
Man, for example, one of the ways of respecting God is respecting His loyal people.
Right.
God's will. Okay.
Sure.
It is a kind of sha'airullah. It is a kind of sign. You have to, if you respect the signs of God on theirs, it is as if that you respect God Himself. For example, in another verse in chapter of Hajj, verse number 36, that وَالْبُدْنُ جَعَلْنَهُ لَكُمْ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. We have made وَالْبُدْن. Those very fat camels are called in Arabic terms بُدْن.
Right.
In the time of Hajj, okay, God the Almighty has mentioned that even the بُدْن, the camels, are called kind of signs of God, and it is even you can, for example, slaughter it in the way of God, and your Hajj is accepted. When the camels are the signs of God, the great personalities and the companions of the Holy Prophets, that you believe they are immaculate, they are infallible. It is your belief system that the companions of the Holy Prophets are ma'soom, isn't
sure,
it?
Sure.
So what is the reason that you come across and do such a, for example, exhuming a grave and bringing out the body out of the grave. Isn't it the Sahabi of the Holy Prophet? It is the companion, isn't it?
Of the Holy Prophet, yes.
Even if you call it a Tabi'i, for example, because some of them said, no, it is not the Sahabi, it is Tabi'i. It is, he is a person who has witnessed and who has witnessed the Sahabi. He didn't see the Holy Prophet himself, but it is not right.
No, you don't have a right to violate anybody's grave.
Yes, yes. So, when the can, when the when an animal is the sign of God, the human beings are not. The human being which is Khalifatullah isn't it a sign of God? When you, it is a kind of respect. Misunderstanding, they do not understand that this is not a kind of worship. When we use, for example, turbat or mohr, we call it in each language. When you use a kind of dust,
clay, clay
in your prayer, they say you are worshipping it.
No.
But is it really we are worshipping?
No, it's symbol. It's symbolic of something.
No.
But what we'll do, Dr. Amini, is we'll carry on at this point, you know, even with the idea of the religious symbols that we even use to respect certain aspects of worshipping God. But we'll come back to that point right after this short break. So viewers, please stay with us. We'll be right back. Thanks. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. You're watching Islamic Studies, and I'm your host, Ijaz Hussain. There will be some numbers as well as an email subtitled on the screen. Please use them if you'd like to contribute towards the program, especially on this very sensitive subject of blasphemy. And we're really talking about the desecration and sacrilegious violation of holy shrines, because as my guest, Sheikh Dr. Amini, has been pointing out, that really, you know, this edict that has come out of these courtier mullahs, if we can call them, in the, Saudi Arabia particularly, because of this takfiri trend that they belief they have, is that they don't accept this kind of thing, that you can have holy shrines and all. But as you quite rightly point out in this argument, they should get rid of the mosque of the Holy Prophet by the edict.
Even the Kaaba itself.
Even the Kaaba itself. So, I mean, where does that leave Islam and its holy religion? And what I'm even thinking beyond that is that if they were successful in doing that, then they would be demolishing churches after that. Then, you know, even the places of Jesus Christ would be removed. And, you know, where would this extremism go to?
Why they are going to destruct Baitul Maqaddas?
Yes, the Dome of the Rock Mosque in Jerusalem. That's right. My God, yes.
All the places, all the basements of this mosque has been, as a matter of fact, dug out.
It's being dismantled by the Zionists.
Exactly. It is mentioned that, in, for example, in 10 years or more or less, it will fall down. It will be destroyed.
It will collapse. Yes.
You know, this, if you get to my point, these are the same roots.
Roots
in thinking that, for example, we must demolish all kinds and symbols of religiosity on the earth. And what remains, it is a kind of, what can I say,
anti-godism on earth.
Yes, Luciferism.
That's very nice. I think you put it nicely.
Completely. And what remains, it is the Satan itself and its military. So the main issue is that they have to think about it, what are they doing. Okay, if they can think, of course. Unfortunately, let me tell you that this is very multidimensional issue as well. One aspect is religious beliefs and so-called fatwa and so-called decrees and creeds. Okay.
Sure.
But the other point and the other dimension is politics as well.
That's
the
true.
Bad kind of politics. You know,
Imperial politics, you could say, because you know, really this is, because we see, for example, that these religious fanatics or these extremists, if I can put it, who are called the insurgency in Syria, for example, because we were going to dwell on this aspect as well. But we see whose hand is behind it and who's supporting them, what they call the international community, and that's the US, UK, Israel, and so on. So when we see that their hand is behind it, then we obviously see their motives as well, because when you get the Saudis giving a kind of moral issue to the whole thing, but really it's serving a very much an imperial agenda.
When you see the head of, for example, Taliban or Al-Qaeda,
beside
whom? Beside the president of, for example, the U.S. in one photo, if you see one
That's
together.
Right. I saw that.
How the arsenals and the military factories and gun factories sell their products.
Exactly.
One of the ways is to building such hostilities in the world. They can sell their products in these countries, isn't it? Millions and billions of dollars has been spent to buy different kinds of guns and revolvers, you know, machine guns, you know, the any kind of, you know, you see the missiles, okay?
Sure.
Not all, with all of the countries, you know, you see in the Middle East. Why? They say, you know, if they believe in the clash of civilization and the clash of religions, this is the main theory.
Sure.
They say...
That's the Huntington theory, isn't it?
Yes. They say you have to... If you look at the Zionism theory, they say Armageddon must be done, must happen. What is Armageddon? They say it is the kind, it is the event will happen at the end of the time, that the situation of the world is in disorder, in chaos.
Chaos. Okay? Yes, yes.
So they are trying to build this chaos.
That's right. But out of this manipulation, we're really talking about ultimate control towards a world government, which will be stemmed out of this extremism that we're talking about at the moment, which is coming out of this Takfiri tradition, this Wahhabi tradition. But we have to emphasize the fact that this Wahhabi thing that we're talking about, you know, just for our Muslim viewers as well, we're talking about something that is really not out of a true Muslim tradition, because the Sunni tradition also has shrines, don't they? I mean, the Sunni brethren themselves go to shrines as well. They visit particular scholars as well that they regard as holy people. And they have special shrines for them all spread out through the Indian subcontinent, all throughout the Middle East. So they're very similar. I mean, it's not something that is peculiar to the Ahlul Bayt.
Yes.
The Sunni and Shia are very similar in
exactly.
this.
Exactly.
Especially with the Tariqa, the Sufis, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. No, these are not either the Sunnis, nor the Shias, nor other Ismailis. Not Alawis, any kind.
They
these
have
are
no
just names. They have a kind of existence. This is a kind of, you know, pseudo and quasi existence. It is a kind of existence which is on the air, bubble existence. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Why? Because after this happening, after this exhuming the grave, okay, of, for example, Hujr ibn Adi, there are different ways of calling him. Mm-hmm. For example, Sheikh Mahdi al Samid, one of the clergies and clerics of Iraq, who is Sunni.
Sunni, yes, yes.
Okay, has condemned and said that any kind of exhuming any mausoleum and destruction of the shrines is forbidden.
Of course, it's forbidden. It's impermissible.
So if you call yourself a Sunni,
sure.
I'm talking about the community of the Sunnis in Iraq as well.
Sure.
They have the same issue.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The mass media.
I was thinking, you know, particularly, sorry to interrupt you, Dr. Amin, but I was thinking of the incident even in Pakistan where they had a very holy personality that the Sunni brethren always visit, and they were destroyed by the Takfiris there as well in a bomb explosion.
Yes, you know,
so this is what we're pointing out here, that this is something, you know, out of the tradition of Islam.
Exactly. They have as a matter of fact, demolished even all the symbols of civilization. You see any kinds
of...
You know,
Bamiyan in Afghanistan.
In Afghanistan. They have destroyed logic, as I told you, thinking.
Sure.
you know, they come out of the fan, out of fire. No, sometimes they come out of pan to the fire.
Into the fire, yes. No, absolutely.
By
yes.
the fear of, you know, worshipping, they enter into the fire. No, but they fall down into the fire. This is the problem, the thinking. So this is one of the deep roots. I and other, exclusivism. You know, the way of interpretation the world in a way that, as a matter of fact, we must be in this world and the others are our slaves, unfortunately, because this is one of the
true
doctrines of, even for example, some Zionists mentioned that we are the only people that we have the right of living
yes,
in this
it's
world.
It's a very racist type of thinking that they think that they have some special exclusive right even with God, and that all other human beings are subhuman. Remember,
yes.
Netanyahu recently used that word with the Palestinians. He said that these kids who are resisting us are subhuman. And we've heard that rhetoric in Nazi Germany.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's the same kind of racist
Mussolini,
claptrap.
Hitler,
these fascist regimes that were in Europe.
Exactly. You know, do you know that you can convert to Christianity and you can convert to Islam, but you cannot convert to Judaism or to Zionism?
That's
or
true. Absolutely.
Why?
Yeah.
Because they say the blood order is important, the genetic.
Yeah,
the
genetic inheritance.
You cannot.
Yeah.
So all the people who are in this realm, all the people, for example, the children coming out from in this way, they can be, for example, Jews. So this is the attitude, unfortunately. Of course, I have heard that today, because of the way of the thing, they have some kind of moderation in their belief system as well, for example. They have a kind of mass convert system as well in their belief.
Sure.
But normally, those people who are thinking in this way have always harmed the others, you know, existent, peaceful coexistence. What you see in Myanmar as well, as I mentioned
that's
before.
That's right, yes.
They say we are the only people must live in this land. Muslims must be exiled.
Mm.
When you see in Palestine, they say we are the only people must live in this. When you come to Syria as well, they say we are the only people, we have the right to live in this territory, and all the people and all the things have must be demolished, and all the holy trend. Look at me, even they have promised that if we get the power, more power, even we will demolish and destroy the, as a matter of fact, the shrine of Hazrat Zainab. Even
I know. This is the real worry.
Yes, this is. It is a domino effect. It's a kind of
effect,
domino
yes.
game. If it won't happen, it will be continued on
today. Dr. Amini, we've only got about a couple of minutes left in the program. Can you kind of tie up what we've really discussed in these last two sessions as a way of explaining to our Muslim brethren and non-Muslim, you know, good people of goodwill throughout the world that, you know, what should we do about this kind of extremism? How do we outcast these people who, you know, really are, you know, as you say, are on a dangerous path to creating World War III, you know?
It is what exactly the sentence that our supreme leader Imam Khomeini has mentioned.
Please.
Insight. Mm. Having insight.
Insight. Mm-hmm.
Look at the things and look at the world insightfully.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not haphazardly, not by surface. Okay, the problem that we are having nowadays, it is because we don't have insight. We must be careful about the sectarianism. They look. If you look at the Syria, the enemy, those people who wanted to divide and rule, they understood that, for example, Iran or the other countries does not interfere. So they have started another game in Iraq. By sectarianism,
true.
But
true.
Between the Kurds, between the Shia, between the Sunnis, even if you refer to the history, you would see that the graves of the Kurd people in the Iraq has been dug out in the history by these people as well,
sure.
Because they wanted to show that, for example, these are the Shia, for example, they're doing this.
That's
the
right.
Shia or the Shia phobia, Islamophobia.
Yeah, they're trying to make other people infidels or,
so,
you know, unbelievers
or something.
It is
a kind of multidimensional issue.
Yeah.
If they are promoting kind of Islamophobia, Shia phobia, Iranophobia, Syria phobia, all kind of these
phobias
are deep rooted in this issue that they want to segregate between their attitude, I, and the other, and they call us other, for example. But these people themselves are in minority.
No, they are the enemy of God and man. There's no doubt about
this.
So
the only thing, and the only request I have from my old brothers and sisters, especially in the Middle East, to have the insight as
Thank
the
you.
Supreme Leader of Iran, to look at the things precisely, not by you know by feeling you know very enthusiastically, just go into the thing.
I must apologize, Sheikh Dr. Amini, but thanks very much for the contribution today. Right. We've run out of time. Again on this, I know it's never enough time to say what we want to say, but thanks very much
for that
anyway, and thank you for your valuable contribution. I hope viewers you enjoyed the discussion today. It only leaves me to say wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Thank you very much for watching today, and goodbye.